Moncrief on News Talk.
We move to the thorny and sometimes happy issue of love. Is love really about fate and soulmates? Or do we create our own invisible string, which apparently is a theory, through the choices we make? We're going to talk dating and relationships with dating and relationship expert Frances Kelleher. Frances, hello.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
So listen, the invisible string theory. I mean, are we serious about this? I mean, do you believe that there is a string, albeit metaphorical, binding you to that special someone in a population of whatever, 7 point something billion?
I think sometimes, John, it can be, you know, real. Like the coincidences can be an awful lot, and it can be, oh my God, wow, this is unusual.
Yeah.
But most of the time you can create it yourself. But like the great story, I don't know whether you know the story of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. They really seem to have an invisible string.
Wow, now I wasn't expecting
going
this.
On.
Explain it to me.
Yeah, you know, so as we know, she has dated a lot of people. I'm presuming he has too. They're both 35 years of age. They're not, you know, 19. So they've gone through the world themselves on their own romantic journey individually. And Travis Kelce decided he was going to create, in a way, his own invisible string, because you can create it. I do believe that. So he went to one of her concerts and wanted to get one of her Swiftie bracelets that she gives out to the fans. And he wanted to put his number on it and give it to her. Again, he's in his masculine energy, pursuing a man on a mission. But she was resting her voice because the tour was so intense, she couldn't speak afterwards to fans like she normally would. So he missed his chance. And on his podcast, he told this story. So nobody in the Taylor Swift camp knew anything about this. He just made the announcement saying, I was so disappointed. I wanted to give her my number. I wanted to talk to her, but she wasn't talking because she was resting her voice. And her mother was sitting down in her house and she saw a headline, Travis Kelce trying to connect with Taylor Swift. And when she saw that, she got very interested in this man who was trying to contact her daughter. She, the mother, contacted Taylor's manager and said, find out about this guy. What's he like? And of course, the news came back. He's a lovely guy. He's really nice. And he loves his mom. That was the two statements that she got back. So, of course, that was a very good green flag for Taylor's mom. And she thought, you know, this guy's worth meeting. And she said to Taylor, you need to do, why don't you meet him? And Taylor said, oh, we've nothing in common. What would we talk about? I'm in music, he's in athletics. And she said, you need to start doing something different, which I even tell my clients, you know, pivot, do things differently. And they met privately then. So that had been going on in the background. People had been pulling strings. And Carrie Mulligan, the famous actress, she met her husband, Marcus Mulford, when they were 10 and 12 at a Christian camp, and they became pen pals, and later they got married when she was 26. They're married 14 years now and they have three kids. But I think, you know, you can have hope with the string theory and you can create your own string theory. And there's a dark side to it too, John, where you might feel, oh God, you know, there's only one person for me, which is not true.
Well, I'm going to overshare slightly now, and I'm wondering, do I have a string theory with my wife? Because it's nothing as grandiose as that. But I was about to turn 30. I was completely broke. A friend of mine asked me to go to his dad's 60th birthday. I borrowed 50 euros off my brother. I borrowed my mother's car and drove up. I'm not even sure it was called the M1 then. And I wasn't even sure I was going to go. I thought, why am I going to this guy's dad's 60th birthday? I barely know him. And 21 years later, I'm married to the woman I met that night at that party with three children. So is that a string binding us, I wonder?
Wow. Yeah, I think it is that people can create their own string. Like I always say, you know, go out to things, meet people. And I think as well, John, that comes into the, I don't know whether you've ever heard of this or the listeners, the 6 degree of separation theory. This is all fascinating. And I think that could be it because, you know, you might have even been going around the same circles you know, as your wife would not have known it, but your acquaintances, like the 6 degrees, say that, you know, each person is a separate degree of a degree of separation.
Yeah.
So you have those few people connecting you, but you don't even know it. And they even did an experiment in the 1960s of getting the participants had to get this package to a certain person, but they couldn't directly mail it. They had to mail it to somebody that they knew, that they thought might know somebody of a cousin of that person, et cetera, et cetera. And they got the packages to people, and it's proof that it's a really small world.
Yeah.
So it can be that kind of a thing going on as well. But there's a dangerous side to the invisible string too. Yeah. So, you know, some people that come to me, which isn't true, they think, you know, I've loved and lost. I'm never going to love again. There's only one person for me. Love has to happen. We have to just, you know, sit back and just let it happen. No, you make everything in your life happen. So why not love? You go out, you learn how to drive, you go out, you get your degree. So it's about taking massive action. And I think sometimes people think, oh, it'll just happen. Or another very important thing for people to know, John, is, you know, we call them stringers. There's such a thing as people who are stringers. They will string you along. They will come in and out of your life. I've worked with people who have lost a decade on stringers, 5 years, 10 years. You know, it can be a 1 or 2 year, but that's a lot of time if your biological clock is ticking away and you're aging and the best years to meet people are going by. So you don't want that to happen either.
So that's a different type of string. The stringers, people who string you along. Lots of texts coming in. This one clearly from someone not feeling the love today. It's not a string that links me to the love of my life. It's a ball and chain. Okay. Another one says, it's really hard out there today. Men say that they want commitment, but even after dating for weeks or months and letting them pursue and put in the effort, they still seem to end up saying they don't want commitment. Me and all my girl pals have similar experience. Something is wrong. And that's from Francis. What do you think about that?
So that is, so the people that come to me with that, you know, observation and other things, they have a couple of gaps. So once you fill it, normally people, John, only they think, oh God, I've no hope. No, you have maybe 2 or 3 gaps max. It's not 45 gaps. And if you fill in those gaps, you will make it.
Well, so what do you mean gaps now?
So like a gap now would be, for instance, what I'm hearing here from the patterns I see is that it could be that the women are pursuing and the guys are sitting back. So the women now, because we're pushed into our masculine energy, going out to work and, you know, being driven in our careers, we're pursuing the guys. We're asking the guys out. We're doing most of the guys' work, as it were. Men want to earn the woman. And there could be a second gap that they're giving the farm away, John, too soon before the guy has earned the woman. So men want to commit to women that they've earned. And there's an amazing book, Run Out, Francis, is that her name, that wrote, that asked that question?
I think I may have misread that. I think they were talking to you, Francis. I'm not sure
who the texter was. But there's a brilliant book they can get, that girl can get. It's called Why Men Marry Some Women and Not Others. It increases your marriage potential, which we know is commitment, and commitment potential up to 60%. And basically, this book was so powerful that half the single women who took part in compiling it got married within 3 years. Go out and get that book. It's a Bible. And it tells you that men make up their mind about women within 10 minutes. And the book has said, you know, even women you wed and women you bed. So it's about standards. It's about getting the guy to work for you. Men love a challenge. Men love earning the woman. They love, you know, courting the woman. But that is dying away now because people don't know their roles. And I don't blame people. You know, men are pushed into their feminine energy now as well.
But are you, presume, I hope you're, well, I do hope you're not suggesting that because women have now gone out to work and all that, it's all confused. I mean, we're going to have to adapt to this. Women not being in the home is surely an incredibly good thing if they want to have a career and all that kind of stuff. Are you saying that that's going to...
No, 100%, that's great. Everybody should do, you know, what they want and be in your masculine energy. Push forward at work, but sit back in love. Sit back in dating. That's all you have to do. And you see where the confusion comes in, John, is we don't know how to do it anymore. We don't know how to raise our estrogen. and lower testosterone. Men need high testosterone and low estrogen. So when men come in from work, how they raise their testosterone, is they go and they play a video game, they go away to their man cave, they need to, you know, just relax and do something that isn't challenging. And then their tank is full and they can come back and they can pursue women or, you know, listen to their wife and give love. Women need to do something that nurtures their feminine energy, like going and have a chat with their friends, because women speak way more than men. We, you know, de-stress by venting and talking, or go and get a massage, or go and, you know, create something, you know, arts and crafts. That's how you get your estrogen up. But we don't know how to do it anymore because the modern world is pushing both sexes to the brink.
There's a lot in there. We don't have much time to unpack it. I'll have to get you on again the next time I'm on, because I disagree with some of it and agree with a lot of it. But I have to ask you finally, you seem like, and I mean this in the nicest sense of the phrase, an old school romantic expert. So I'm wondering what you make of the app scene, all these apps where, you know, there are, well, I've never been on them because I met my string person ages ago before they even came out. But all these things you can swipe and see who you might go on a date with tonight. What do you make of those?
Yes. And I have been told that before, that, you know, am I in the old fashioned camp? So what I'd say is it's not even about old fashioned or new fashioned. It's about getting results. It's about Mother Nature and what creates attraction and the yin and the yang and polarity between, you know, the female energy, the masculine energy. So apps are amazing. Research shows 1 in 3 people meet online, even though people hate them. They can really work for you. I know that the problem with the apps is people don't have a strategy. So what you should do with the apps is be on 3 apps at a time. Only pay for 2. This is the roadmap on how to win on the apps. Only pay for 2 apps at a time for the minimum amount of time. Not a week. Now, Bumble, do a week. I'm talking about 2 to 3 months where you can see the data coming back to you. You can see, oh, where am I getting the dates from? Where are the quality men and women, you know, coming from on which app? And you need to only talk to somebody for a week. The main thing I see, John, with the apps that is killing attraction dead when there could be so many love stories is over-communication. People send 10,000 texts. There's nothing to say anymore. There's no reason for the date. The, you know, curiosity, anticipation and mystery is gone. And they all build attraction. So you've got to learn how to use the apps correctly. Okay. But do everything. Make love your number one priority.
Okay.
Meet people in real life and be on the apps.
I'm going to have to get you on and do a podcast privately or something. This is fascinating stuff. I've been talking to Frances Kelleher, who's a dating and relationship expert. We've been talking about, well, dating, but in particular, the invisible string theory. Frances, lovely to talk to you, and hopefully we'll talk again sometime.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
A lot of texts coming in, people sharing some of their invisible string stories, which we might get to. Some people saying they accusing Frances of spouting, I guess, what they're calling old-fashioned rubbish. I can see what they're saying, but there was some sage advice in there as well, I think.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.